I'd like to ask you folks to pray for my family as we're out on the road, and the kids too. Just ask you to pray for them, and that the Lord would just keep them encouraged along the years. And they love being out on the road. They love seeing the Lord do things in people's lives and in our lives. They get to see things firsthand, because evangelism is a lot of living by faith. And they get to see the Lord provide things that are just supernatural. And I'm glad that they're able to see that kind of thing and God work. So if you continue just to pray for us as we're out on the road, we covet your prayers. We do have some prayer cards out there. If you'll put it on the place that you visit the most, the refrigerator, just put it right there on the front of it. That way you could say a prayer for us when you go in there and you're grazing your midnight snack and all that stuff. We'd appreciate that. But I do appreciate every act of kindness and the encouragement from the folks here, the meals, the motel, and everything. It was a real blessing. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us here, church. It's a real blessing to be here. Too bad it's going to be over here in just a little bit. Got to head on back. But Christians never say bye for the last time. We'll see you around some other time. If not, we'll see you in the air. Lord willing. But I'll tell you a story real quick before we get into the message. There was a preacher one time who went to visit one of his shut-ins. You know, a shut-in is somebody that can't go to church. They're kind of disabled. They're a little more older. They're not able to come out in the elements and the weather and that type of thing. And so the preacher would go by there and visit her every week, and he'd take her some preaching tapes and tell her how the service went and things that went on and things like that. But he was over there one day, and they sat down at the couch, and the phone rang. They'd been talking just a few minutes, and she got up and answered the phone, and it was her friend Betty down the road, and they got to talking. The preacher was sitting there. He got looking at his watch, and they were still talking. Some time went by. She was still talking. And he noticed that there was a bowl of peanuts on the coffee table there. And so he reached out and he said, "Well, I don't think she'll mind. She'll be here in a minute." And he grabbed a handful and he popped them in, ate them up. And she was still talking. I mean, they talked and talked and talked, and he got him another handful. Well, before you know it, she was on the phone so long, he sat there and he ate the whole bowl of peanuts. And she came back and she said, "I'm sorry, preacher, that was Betty down the road. We just had to catch up on this and that. I apologize." And he said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll forgive you if you forgive me." And she said, "What? What did you do, preacher?" He said, "Well, while you was on the phone, I sat there and ate that whole bowl of peanuts." And she started laughing and she said, "Preacher, I don't eat them peanuts right there. All I do is suck the chocolate off of them." Some of this water here. That's pretty rough there. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read about 10 verses here. And you know the story, everybody, including the young people here. You know Daniel chapter 6. That's Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, to find occasion concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast and to the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let's pray. Lord, I sure do thank you for this Bible that you've given us and the truth that it contains. I'm so thankful of what it's done in my life. Lord, it sure is a blessing to be able to have it, have a copy of my own that I can tote around and open up anytime. Lord, I thank you for the light that it gives. I pray that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I pray you might use me tonight, move me aside. I pray that I might be just a piece of empty pipe for you to flow through tonight. And I pray that you would give these people a message that would help them and give them some strength in the days to come. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel chapter 6 here. Daniel is about 85 years old in this passage. And verse 3 there, it says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. There was 120 princes here that were over the whole kingdom, and Daniel was put above all of them. Why? Because an excellent spirit was found in him. A lot of times Christians will be put in places of authority in the workplace. Why? Because an excellent spirit is found in them, because the boss trusts them with the money. He knows that they're not going to steal. And so that's kind of the case here with Daniel. He was put above everybody else because of his honesty and because of his faith in God. And these princes here that Daniel is over, they start getting some envy about them. In verse 4 there, it says the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Now they're trying to scoop up some dirt on him. They're trying to find something that's wrong with his life so that they can get him out of the office so they'll look like the big shots. Trying to find a reason to get him out. And they found nothing. They couldn't pin anything on him. Now wouldn't it be great if you were examined by that world out there and they couldn't find anything wrong with you? They couldn't find anything to pin on you? I mean, we know each other. We know we're sinners. But to that lost world out there, wouldn't it be great if they said, well, he don't drink. And when I walk up to his cubicle there in his computer, he's looking at what he's supposed to be looking at. And he don't go down to the bars. He don't talk like everybody else. And he don't say the things that everybody else says. And wouldn't it be great if they just couldn't pin anything on you like they did Daniel here? Then in verse 5, when they can't pin anything on you, they'll try to find something wrong with what you believe. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They might not be able to pin anything on you, but what they'll do is find fault with what you believe. Y'all people, you don't believe that all the religions are the same. They try to start finding fault with what you believe. Yeah, we do believe they're all the same. Religions, all of them, will send you to hell. We don't have religion. I don't think anybody in here that's saved has religion. They have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference between us and them. I've got a friend. I don't have a religion. But they say the Bible has errors in it. There's a lot of errors in that thing there, you know, and they've never read it themselves. They just heard that from somewhere. Okay, show me one. Where are they at? You don't have to be a scholar to defend that. Just hand them a Bible and tell you to show, get them to show you one. They won't be able to. They're not going to know where they at. But they'll try to find fault with what you believe. And then in verse 7 there, they knew that Daniel talked to God faithfully. They knew that three times a day, they knew this Daniel. And that he was faithful. And so what they're trying to do now is they're going to trap him. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man or man for 30 days save of thee should be cast into the den of lions. So they knew Daniel prayed. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him. So they made a law saying if anybody prays to anybody else beside the king, it's capital punishment. The lion's den. So they're trying to trap him. And then in verse 9, the king passed it. He passed that law. Capital punishment. Verse 9 says that King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And then in verse 10, when Daniel knew, when he knew that the trouble was coming, when the trouble was on the way, I'm sure he thought for a minute, he's just like you and I, and he's a lot better man than you and I, and that we'll ever be, but I'm sure for just a moment there that Daniel stopped and said, what am I going to do now? And you know what he did? The rest of the verse there in verse 10, he went in his house, and he knelt down, and he prayed. But when he knew that the trouble had come, you ever been there? When you knew the trouble was there, or it was just right on the way. You ever been there? That late night phone call. Somebody calling at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you see that number there, and you say, oh man, there's something wrong. They're not awake at this time. They don't call this late. There's something wrong. And you pick that phone up, just like Daniel there in that verse, it says, and when he knew. And then you knew, man, there's some trouble. You ever been there? You ever been there when you knew that you'd been laid off? You get your check there and you think everything's going well and it's a little bit thicker in the envelope there than usual and you open it up and there's that pink slip. We're going to have to get rid of you. Have to lay you off when you knew. The foreclosure notice? Well, they're going all across the country like wildfire. I don't know what's behind that thing, but I believe it's got to be crooked. I don't understand all that. But boy, that sure is some trouble. When the doctor said, we're going to have to operate. When you knew that the trouble was there. When you got the letter from the attorney and it was from the spouse, then I want out. When you knew, oh boy, there's going to be some trouble. And then life for a season just turned upside down. The devil in that lion's den waiting to devour you. What are you going to do when troubles come? That's what I want to preach to you about tonight. We just, for title's sake, when troubles come. When troubles come, what are you going to do? And if the Lord tarries, oh man, if the Lord tarries, we are headed for some troubles. Not just with the country and the things that are going on in the political realm and the finances and all that kind of stuff, but just with us. And our family and our friends. There's some troubles and some heartaches. There's going to be some times when you, like Daniel there, when he knew, well, there's some trouble. What are you going to do? Maybe you're there now. Maybe there's somebody there now. That world out there ain't got no answers. It ain't got nothing for you. You know where the answers are? They're in this book right here. No answers for the pressures of life. That's why in this country there's 8 million potheads. Because they ain't got no answers. They ain't got nothing else but to do that. If I was a lost man and I was living in this world with all the troubles and trials, I'd do it too just to get away. They don't have nothing. That's why half of the people in this country drank alcohol last year. Didn't have no answers. That's why, and I'm not a statistic guy. I don't preach statistics and stuff like that with all the numbers and everything, but I just happened to look up the suicide statistics for Florida. And they just had the report for 2009. I guess it takes them a while to get the last year. But the report for 2009 said that 8 people every day in Florida check out of here, take their own life. 8 people in Florida. Why? Because when troubles come, and when them troubles came, they didn't know how to deal with it. That's why that's going on. But the Bible has got the answers that we need. That world ain't got no answers. You can go and look in the libraries and go find all those self-help books and all the psychology and the focus on the family and all those things, and they're not going to help you a bit. This book has got the answers. It's nothing really hard about this message. It's pretty simple. But if you'll look there in verse 10, when troubles come, keep on praying. Look in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And look at this phrase right here. Look what God put in there. As he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. Hey, praying is what worked before. Praying is what will work when you get in trouble. When troubles come, you need to keep on praying, just like Daniel did. Pray for the best and ask God for the grace to take what comes. Pray on. Keep on praying, and then ask God to give you the mercy and the grace to go through whatever it is. Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, you know Jesus Christ, he prayed while he was on the cross. No answer. You know what he did? He took it. Why? Because that's what the Father wanted. A lot of times, Christians just have to take it. Because that's what God wants. I know a young man that came down to school here at PBI, and he was doing real good, a fine student, good example, good testimony, and he had a little pain in his foot. It had been there for a couple of years. They said, oh, it's just a spur. It's this, that, and the other. It ain't no big deal. And he kept going to the doctor. It kept getting worse. It kept getting bigger. And they waited too late, and they found out it was cancer. This young man is 21 years old. And so they went and they cut his leg off about right there. They had to cut it off. They thought they'd got it before it spread to everywhere else. Then they found out he's got spots on his lungs. Now they're going to nuke him to death to try to get rid of it. And he was driving to the hospital to go do his chemotherapy after he'd got his leg. Got the story wrong. This was before he got his leg cut off. So he's on the way to the hospital there, and he was at the wrong hospital. And so the nurse there said, no, the other hospital that you need to be at is a mile down the road. And he was going to get his leg cut off from this cancer. He had to go to this hospital and have all this work done. And so he said, okay. So they go out, and they're starting to walk in towards the parking lot there. And he says, you know what, Mom? He says, this will be the last mile I'll probably walk with my foot. How about let's just walk down to that hospital? You know what he did? He just took it. Amen. He walked down there, had his leg cut off. Still, he's a fine testimony. Been a great testimony going through this whole thing. But he just took it. But you got to keep on praying and ask God to help you to take what comes. And what he don't take away, I believe he makes a way to take. He'll make a way for you to take it. Daniel was a great man, but God wanted to develop him further. And you may be doing right. You may be reading your Bible. You may be doing some witnessing. You may be having a prayer life, but God will put those troubles on you so that he could further develop you and mold you and make you into what he would have you to be. Troubles ain't sent to bother us. They're sent to better us. That's why the troubles come. God's not just putting something in your life just to aggravate you and make you mad and give you a hard time. It's something that he wants to mold and shape in your life. But Daniel already had a consistent prayer life aforetime. He'd been praying. So when the trouble came, it was easy for him just to keep on praying. He'd already developed that prayer life. He already knew the prayer promises. He already knew the verses that he could turn to take to God and say, well, God, you said this. He knew where those places were to kind of get God to answer his prayers. He already knew what to pray and what not to pray before the troubles came. Go ahead and start a prayer life now, brethren. Because praying when it's easy makes it easy when it's hard. Go ahead and develop that prayer life. I know you've been planning on it. Lord, I'm going to start that prayer life, and I'm going to get serious about it. I'm going to spend some time with you. But you hadn't yet. And then when troubles come, it's going to be hard for you to pray like you're supposed to. Go ahead and start it now. Notice there that he kneeled there in verse 10. That's the position of a beggar. That's the posture of a beggar. Kneeling down and begging. You know what Christians need to do? They need to bow before God, get on their knees, and hold their hands up to heaven and beg. Amen. Beg God. That's what we are. Are beggars before God. Don't forget to thank Him when you pray. Notice there in verse 10, he gave thanks before his God. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." A lot of times Christians will give their supplications and they'll tell God their Christmas wish list and all that what they want, and they forget to thank God for what He's done for them in their life. And forget to thank God for what He's provided for them for that day and for saving their soul and for giving them that book and giving them good health and so forth and so on. That giving thanks is part of that formula of prayer. But brethren, when the troubles come, and if the Lord tarries, they're coming, keep on praying. Stay consistent. You say, "I've been praying for help. I'm one of the ones that's in the trouble right now, and I've been praying and I've been praying and nothing's happened." Well, you got to keep on. You ever seen those prisoners out on the chain gang, and they got sledgehammers and they got those big rocks out there that they make them beat on and crack? You can see them out there pounding away on that thing and pounding and pounding time after time after time after time, and finally it cracks. You can hit that thing 100 times and nothing happens. And in that 101st time there, you hit it and it cracks. You know it wasn't that one that cracked it, but it was the 100 that went before it. You keep on praying. It might take you 100 times praying that, but 101, that might be the one that gets it. So don't give up. Men ought always to pray and to faint not. Keep on praying. When troubles come, keep on praying, brethren. Not only that, but look here in verse 11. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." What? Here Daniel went into his house and he's praying, and these men in verse 11 are spying on him. They're watching him. You know what you need to do when troubles come? What you should do? Keep your testimony. Not only do you keep on praying and stay consistent with that as you did aforetime, but keep your testimony. Because when that storm comes, there's going to be people sitting back, "I wonder what he's going to do now." And they're going to be watching you. You need to keep your testimony. You know what Daniel did? Daniel went from president to prisoner, just like that. He went from the top executive to the execution. Just like that. And he kept his testimony all the way. Look in verse 4. This is before the trouble. "The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." That was before the trouble. He had a good testimony. During his trouble, in verse 16, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." In the midst of his trial, he kept his testimony. And after the storm, look in verse 23. "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." All through it, before it, during it, and after it, Daniel kept his testimony. Because people were watching him. People were watching him. You might do nothing but stand when that storm comes. You know what the Bible says to do? Having done all, to stand. Sometimes when that storm comes, all you can do is just plant your feet and put your head down and just take it and go through that thing, but you don't go backwards. And people will watch you and they'll respect you for standing and not moving. Keep your testimony. None of us liveth to himself. No man's an island. Everybody affects somebody. You go down, you take somebody with you. Christians don't go down without taking somebody with them, because there's people watching you. There's friends and there's family and there's young people that are watching you, older ones in here. You might not think that they're watching. They're taking notes. They're taking notes up here. They might be down here doing this and that and scribbling and looking over here, but they know what's going on. And they're watching you. Keep your testimony. When trouble comes, you know what's easy to do is get involved in the things of the world when troubles come. That world had just such a pull. Because when you're going through those storms and when those things, all that pressure is on you, it's just so easy to say, man, if I just go out there and take a little of that, man, I could forget all about it. If I just threw in the towel, everything would be okay. That pull. And it's so easy to get out there in it when you're in the storm, because it just ends the pressure. Some people just throw in the towel, I've had all I could take, and they run to that world. It's easy to give up when you're going through the storm. You know, it takes years to get a good testimony, but just a few minutes to lose it. You got that testimony built up, you need to keep it. You need to keep it. Keep your testimony when you're going through the trials. There's an illustration, there's a story of a preacher that he had a bad nightmare one night, and he woke up in a cold sweat, and he woke his wife up. He said, hey, you gotta hear this. I had a bad dream. There was some stuff that I dreamed about was terrible. She said, what is it? He said, I dreamed about hell. She said, you did? He said, yeah, I did. It was terrible. She said, well, what was the most terrible thing down there? And they were talking about different things. And he said, no, it wasn't all the flames. And it wasn't the darkness. And it wasn't the smell. And it wasn't this, that, and the other. He said, you know what the worst thing was down there? It was my influence. My influence. That lost world watching you Christians. And you go down, and they'll say, huh, you ain't no better than I am. And they'll go to hell. Well, I blew it, preacher. Some of you may have blown your testimony. That happens. We mess up. Well, so did Daniel. You know, over there in chapter 2, Daniel let somebody worship him, let somebody bow down there. He got his testimony back. You know what you got to do? Stay faithful. A just man falleth and arise. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Be faithful in getting up. I blew it, preacher. All right, well, get up. Dust yourself off and get back at it. Amen. Don't stop. Keep your testimony. And then the brethren here, you that are spiritual, help restore such an one. Help them out. When troubles come, keep your testimony. Keep your testimony. Not only that, look in verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. See, they're saying here, Daniel, he don't believe the law that you wrote. He believes that he's supposed to pray and he's going to keep on doing it. You know what you need to do? Is keep your beliefs. Keep believing what you believe. Keep your convictions. And make sure your convictions are not just preferences, but they're from the Bible. But keep on believing it. And they tattled on him here. Oh, king, he's not paying attention to you or your law. But he kept on praying. He obeyed God rather than man. And he believed it was right to pray. So he kept on. Kept on. He didn't let that world out there stop him believing that it was right to pray. When troubles come, you got to keep on believing the Bible, because those troubles are designed to shake you, to shake your beliefs. And those troubles come in your life, and it's trying to shake you and say, "You really believe that? I don't think so." And it shakes you and shakes you and shakes you to see if you really believe it. You know, on our medicine bottles, a lot of times, you know what it'll say on there? Shake well before use. That's what God does to Christians sometimes. Picks you up and says, "Shake well before use." See if he's going to stand. But that's what they're designed for. They're designed to see if you really believe what you believe, and if you're going to stop believing it just because you're going through some storms. God will shake us sometimes before he uses us. He'll shake you. He'll shake you and say, "You believe this verse? I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. You believe that?" "Yes, sir, I believe that." He'll shake you again. "You believe this verse right here? That my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus?" "Yes, sir, I believe that." "Okay. I'll let you do a little something. Shake well before use." That's why they call it a trial of faith. But keep on believing what you believe. It's supposed to be believed when everything's going your way. When everything's not going your way, you got to believe it in spite. Because it's truth and it's God's word. When troubles come, there'll be a temptation to compromise the truth with that world out there. There's already enough pressure with you going through the storm and going through the trials, and there'll be just a temptation to just get along with everybody, so you won't have that pressure as well. So they'll put pressure on you to stop. The people at work, "Oh man, don't be so negative all the time. Why can't you just get along with everybody? Just quit being so negative and talking about that Jesus stuff." You'll have a temptation to give up and stop believing and compromise with the world out there. The Bible says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." They're going to provoke you. They're going to try to get you to stop believing what you believe. The world will eat you up if you don't keep your beliefs. There's a story about a hunter one time. He raised his rifle to shoot a bear. And the bear said, "Hold on just a minute. What are you doing? Let's talk about something here. What do you want?" He said, "I want a fur coat." He said, "Okay. All I want is a full stomach." The bear said, "Okay, let's go over here and let's sit down and let's talk about this thing." And so they went over there and sat down, and a little bit of time went by, and the bear gets up and walked away, and he ate that guy. The bear got his full stomach, and the man got his fur coat. Why? Because he compromised. That world will eat you up. You get that gun up, you're ready to shoot, and they say, "Oh, wait a minute, let's talk about this." No, you keep it on them. And you go ahead and fire. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." Keep your beliefs. When troubles come, keep your beliefs, brethren. Don't stop believing the book. Stay by the stuff. We'll look at this lastly in verse 16. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." See the last part of that verse? "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Keep on trusting God. When troubles come, keep on trusting God. Don't stop believing the promises in this book. Thy God, he will deliver thee, and have the faith to believe that God's going to get you out of it. With all the things that he'd been through, he knew to trust God no matter what Daniel did. He'd been through some things. He knew it paid to keep believing God and trusting him, because he got him through so many times. If God brought you to it, he'll get you through it. Amen. Amen. Resting on God's promises will get you through any trial. I had some pretty tough trials in my life. I won't go into details about a lot of it, but I went through some tough times a few years back. And there was only one thing that kept me afloat, and it was the promises in this book right here. Now, I'd get this Bible out, and I'd look at, I had certain promises and certain things that I looked at that kept me encouraged and kept me going and gave me hope to live another day. And sometimes I'd get them out, and I'd just sit there for an hour and just stare at one verse and just look at it. You ever been there? Say, do I really believe that? See, I went to Bible school, and I got a lot of head knowledge about God's book. Oh, yeah, man, all those doctrines, the gap theory, you know, all of those things. I was, man, I had it all up here. But then when I got out of school, I went through some things, and God gave me some heart knowledge. Yeah, you learned that promise. Yeah, you could throw Romans 8:28 on somebody else. Now, okay, let's see you. Let's see you take it. And I'd sit there and look at them verses. And at the end of that storm is, yep, Lord, that's true. That's what got me through, is the promises of God. Resting on God's promises. You see anywhere in here where Daniel tried to take control? You don't see anywhere in here where he tried to take control of the situation. He believed his God, and he kept on trusting. You know what you need to do? Just say, Lord, I don't know how it's going to turn out. It may kill me, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, Lord. And put your head down and take it. There was a lady by the name of Louisa Stead. She took a trip to Long Island Sound in New York with her husband and her daughter. They were having a picnic there together. And as they were having this picnic, they heard a commotion in the back in the water, some splashing, and they noticed that there was a young man way out there in the water. He was drowning. He was calling for help. And this woman's husband, he took off running out there to help him, and he swam out there, and he grabbed a hold of him. And what happens usually when somebody's drowning and somebody comes out and latches on? Well, they latch on too. And they latch on real tight because they're afraid they're going to die. And the one that's trying to save them, he can't do anything either. And they both drown. Right out there in front of his wife and his daughter. They died. And some time went by and she wrote a song. Born out of trouble. You know what that song was? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. A song born out of trouble. When troubles came for her, she trusted God. When troubles come, brethren, you need to keep on trusting God. And look how it ended here for Daniel. Let me read verse 22 and 23. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. Brethren, I was just trying to give you a little something simple here, because if the Lord tarries, you got some troubles coming. And when they come, you need to keep on praying, brethren. Don't stop praying. You need to keep your testimony. You need to keep your beliefs. And keep on trusting God no matter what. Let's pray.